When I was 19, I had the opportunity to do a short-term missions trip to Japan through something called Youth in Mission through our national church. While I was there for 8 weeks, several different families would provide homestay for me. At that time, homestay was a foreign word. What is homestay? Basically, it meant that I boarded with a family for a week or two, and all the families were of Korean heritage. As I really struggled to adjust to Japanese cuisine, the culture shock, and the lack of opportunity to speak and be easily understood in English, I was greatly comforted by the Korean food that was generously offered to me at homestay. Until I was 18, I had not known that there were many Koreans who were second and third generation living in Japan. When Korea had been annexed in the early 1900s, a number of them were forcibly taken into Japan to build infrastructure. These second and third generation Koreans, like me, would not use Korean at school or at work, and sometimes not even very much at home. And so it was actually easier for us to communicate in their broken English than it was in our even more broken Korean. Nevertheless, it was our ethnic heritage that brought us together. In the early 90s, there was a church in Nagoya, Japan, that had been built by Koreans living in Japan. The church had a school for young children on the first two levels, a long-term care residence in the middle three, and the top two level was for the faith community, the church. I would spend my summer volunteering 2 days a week at that long-term care residence and had the fortune of exploring Japan with my Korean-Japanese companions and some international Korean students from the church community above. One weekend, I had the privilege of going on a church retreat. We traveled outside the city and up into the mountains, and I was fascinated by the concrete walls that would prevent the soil from spilling onto the road, and how intermittently you would see all these holes so that the water could come flowing through when it rained. I remember how green everything was, and I thought Toronto was green. I mean, I grew up just northeast of here, and along Hyde Park Avenue in midsummer, there's a beautiful canopy of green when you walk down Hyde Park Avenue. But in that verdure, that unknown, vibrant forest with its fresh, clean air, I would feel the power of the Holy Spirit move within me one night while I shared my faith and tried to encourage the Korean wife of an international Korean student. As many of you know, I'm not fluent in Korean, and I speak it even more brokenly now than I did when my grandmother was still living. But because of my paternal grandmother, I could converse in simple Korean. For any of you who've taken French all the way to grade 13 and have some basic conversational skills, you may understand my pain when trying to converse in another language. So although my Korean would improve greatly while I was there, my Korean still lacked the fluency that I had in English. And if you think that I like to talk now, you should have known me as a teenager. My French teacher once called me a loquacious interlocutor. As a lover of big words, this was a fabulous new, adjective to describe me. It was much better than the colloquialism chatterbox. But I missed the easy conversation I could have in English. But that one night, on that church retreat in Japan, somehow this Korean woman and I found ourselves having a conversation about faith. And I can't tell you what I said because it's been more than two decades, but I remember clearly two things. One, I did not stumble that night. I did not stumble or hesitate as I shared my faith and tried to encourage this woman in Korean. Somehow the words just seemed to flow out of my mouth and come as I needed them. I was not frenetically trying to find a word in my head. And two, the Korean woman also noticed the fluency with which I spoke in Korean and the ease with which she was able to understand me. At the end of our conversation, the two of us marveled at how God was present in and through our conversation. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered by, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these all Galileans who are speaking? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." I can promise you this, that neither of us had imbibed anything that night. I was as sober then as I am sober this morning. And strangely, mysteriously, I was able to communicate in Korean with an ease I never had since that time or ever again. I was blessed with this one-time experience of fluency. And although many people may not experience the Holy Spirit's power through the languages of this world, there are other languages that surround us that are not bound by rules of syntax or grammar. What do I mean? We can communicate and express ourselves through more than just words. For example, we can communicate and express ourselves through hospitality. Some churches are great at it, more than simply saying hello or giving a little gift bag of welcome. Some churches intentionally ensure that no worshiper is left sitting alone during worship or fellowship hour, or wandering alone with food in their hand and no one to speak to. There are individuals in these churches who understand the importance of hospitality and generously sacrifice time with church friends in order to welcome the guest, a stranger. But another way we can communicate and express our hospitality is by how we listen to the other, and genuinely try to understand, to find a way to live together despite differences. I call this the language of diversity. And I understand this word diversity to mean the inclusion of different types of people, or the condition of having different elements. To explain what I mean, I share with you an excerpt from Diana Butler Bass's book, Christianity for the Rest of Us, How the Neighborhood Church is Transforming Faith. In Goleta, a city in southern Santa Barbara County of California, Tamara, a new member who takes the Bible fairly literally, was preparing to teach Sunday school when another parent admonished the class. "I just want you to remember, boys and girls, these are stories, like a metaphor, not literal truth." Tamara was offended, and the two teachers were at odds. Instead of allowing this to fester into a full-blown conflict, Pastor Steve and the children's educational director brought the differing parties together and opened a conversation about what Presbyterians really teach about the Bible. Neither the parent nor Tamara had accurately presented the denomination's tradition. Each side left the discussions having learned new things about Scripture. As Katie, the church's evangelical youth director, says, "Nobody felt like they were a bad person, or that their value, or that their opinion was not valued or honored." The Sunday school was not ripped apart, and the content of children's education was actually refined during that engagement. Pastor Steve confesses that holding diversity together can be tricky at times, but the congregation keeps at it. Pastor Steve says, "We believe when we do a scripture reading that everybody has a piece of the puzzle. And when we all come to the end, we are blessed by the encounter. To me, that is when I feel God is present." In 2004, a year of fractious social and religious division in national politics, Goleta Presbyterian Church tested its polycultural resiliency when the congregation rewrote its mission statement to include citizenship concerns, politics, and a moral perspective to issues such as human rights and environmental justice. Randy confesses that he was concerned that redoing the mission statement during an election year might foster conflict. But he recalls the congregation and Steve handled it really well. The renewed sense of vision begins. Goleta Presbyterian Church is a place where people of many backgrounds and ages encounter a God that is alive, personal, and powerful, and full of love for all people. The congregation commits itself, among other things, to active participation in God's work in the world and the creation of a healthy multicultural community. While some Christians then and still today seem committed to dividing the country or their churches along religious lines or theological beliefs, the people at Goleta walked another path. As one woman told me, it's such a variety, and yet it's all lovingly held together as church. Like their ancestors, the people at Goleta Presbyterian are good farmers. As the world changed around them, they might have lost their little church, but they did not. Instead, they sowed seed for a new kind of congregation, and the church has grown. Diana Butler-Bass also writes, diversity is more than a political condition. It is something Christians do. Christians pursue diversity because it models creation, embodies love, and through the related practice of reconciliation, aligns our lives with God's dream of harmony. In an era of post-truth is choosing to believe whatever I feel is right, instead of critically thinking about what is the truth. In an era of fake news, labeling anything that disagrees with your stance or point of view as fake and a lie. In an era when individuals are far too ready to speak their mind instead of listening to genuinely understand the other's perspective. I passionately feel that we, the church, need to exemplify fluency in this language of diversity. And the only way we can do it is through the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit. If we as Christians and Easter people, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, if we can show the world how we can hold our own differences in a creative tension that brings renewal and growth, and brings us closer to one another and to our God. If we can live this language of diversity fluently, how might we change our world? To dream and to imagine how brightly we can shine and show the way of Christ as we speak this language of diversity. With General Assembly right around the corner, there are some hot-button issues on the agenda for our church. I long for our church to be able to hold in creative tension people who have different and sometimes diametrically opposed perspectives and interpretations of Scripture. I long for a church because of their love for Jesus Christ, because of their personal relationship with God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, come humbly together to worship, to have dialogue. I long for a church that accepts differences, not because we give up our perspectives, not because we give up our beliefs, but because God has called us to see Jesus in the other. What do you long for? The book of Acts is about witnesses of Christ, his resurrection and ascension, the way, the truth, and the life. The book of Acts is about sharing this good news with everyone. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Amen.